It's mid-August. Labor Day is right around the corner. Yeah, hate to be Debbie Downer, but fall semester begins at UConn in less than 1 week. That's right, August 25th. And look what we have here, UConn fans. Two intriguing international players. They have been added to this year's men's basketball roster. 15 scholarship players will be in practice uniform come October. No vacancy at Gamble. Pull up a chair, grab a cold one. We're talking college hoops on What Else? The Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. My name is Brian Dinovellis, and I told you, whenever there's hoops to be talked about, we will be here. And with me today is Mr. UConn Men's Basketball Insider, our good friend from CTInsider.com and Hearst Connecticut Media Group, Dave Borges. Dave, how's your summer going, man?
Well, no complaints at all. I don't complain about the heat because I hate the cold so much, but wouldn't mind it if it was a little cooler. Today wasn't so bad, and I think we got some better days coming up. September's always the best regarding that. But yeah, everything's good.
I'm with you. Yeah, glad to hear that. And hey, were you surprised at all by these two late additions here in late August?
No, just a matter of when. You know, Dan had told us to be expecting one or two additions from overseas. One of them was going to be a big. They certainly could, you know, needed a little bit of depth up front with only two guys who are really kind of two big men who are going to be part of the rotation, and a third kid who's a transfer, who's 6'8", and you know, probably isn't going to see a whole lot of time. But so we knew at least one, probably two, and we knew one would be a big, and we knew they were from overseas. We just didn't know exactly when it was going to happen, but it certainly, you know, probably had to happen soon because before you know it, the school year is going to begin.
Yeah, I'm going to give a stab here. I'm pretty confident in these pronunciations. They have a 6'3" guard, Juroš Panović, or Panović from Serbia, 22 years old, a little more mature of the two, and a rising 7'1" talented center, one of the best rising big men in the country of Turkey, Razan Elazai. So let's begin with the big man, Elazai, 7'1". He's 18 years old. He's got some catching up to do as he enters and enrolls in UConn and, of course, gets assimilated with the workouts and practices. They've had a full summer with Dan Hurley. He has not. So he's coming in with talent. He's young, but he's also going up against a big, experienced veteran in Terrace Reed, and also an exciting McDonald's All-American 7-foot center in Eric Reby.
Both these guys are long-term projects. Both these guys are essentially depth pieces, as they say, really practice depth pieces for to have more competitive practices. So these, you know, the main kind of the top 9 or 10. They really have a 10-man rotation. So far, they're going to have one at the start of the season anyway. You know, they can play, go up against really good competition in practice. Nothing's to stop either one of these kids or a couple of other the pieces they acquired through the portal to, you know, work their way into getting some playing time. And things happen, obviously, whether they play well or whether they're really showing out in practice. And certainly there's injuries and things like that happen as well, foul trouble. But both these kids, the 7'2" kid and the combo guard, are essentially practice depth for this season.
Okay. But to get a player of this caliber, you know, big men don't grow on trees. Right. So to get him at such a young age, turned 17 in May, you know, Hurley gets his hands on him. Hopefully they can, you know, develop him and see what they can get out of him. I mean, it's a low risk, high reward situation here for Elazai and UConn.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, players have developed very well under Dan Hurley. No question about that. But, you know, they've gone the international route before with some guys. They had a kid from Greece who was here for a couple of years, never really played. He's transferred. I'm not going to say that's going to happen with these guys. I mean, it's in all possibility. They'll be here for 4 years, and or certainly the 18-year-old, the big man, could be here for a few years, and anything could happen. But I suppose my only point is that I wouldn't get too excited about these guys contributing a lot this year. But certainly they could, like many players have, they could certainly develop under Dan Hurley and be contributors in the future.
So Hurley said this about Panovic from Serbia, and I'm quoting what they said in the press release. Hurley said he's pretty good with the ball, can shoot and pass, and plays with real emotion on the floor. He's played at Serbia's highest division for 4 years. He is 22, Dave. So, he's coming in with a little bit of maturity at the international level. We don't know what he could do at a place like UConn. There has to be an adjustment to American culture, of course, going into stores, all that. They have to get adjusted to classes. We know that. But in terms of the basketball experience and pedigree, I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't surprise me if he saw a few minutes this year.
I think the big kid would be in line for potential for more minutes just because there's less depth where he's playing, as far as big men go.
Interesting.
Certain guys could get in foul trouble, like I said, things happen. He could find himself playing a little more. There's a lot of UConn has incredible depth at the wing. This kid's 6'3", 6'4". I've never seen him play, but if Dan Hurley says he can handle the ball pretty well, it's not exactly glowing praise of his ball handling skills. So I don't know how much of a point. I do think the team could use a guy, sort of a third point guard. It's possible Jacob Furphy, the kid from Australia, could serve that role. Maybe this kid could be that as well. Like you said, he is 22. He's got experience against good competition. I don't see him playing a whole lot this year. I can't stress that enough. I hope not. I'm not rooting against him or anything. I'm just telling you what's probably going to be the case. But things happen, and we'll see.
You're right. You're right. There could be injuries. Not that we're wishing that, but to have a roster of 15, what are your thoughts on that? Right? The NCAA brings in this new rule this year. Maximum amount of scholarships is now 15. So, Dan Hurley's dealing with a roster of that size that he's never dealt with before.
Is and obviously not all 15 are going to play. UConn was very upfront about this. Tom Moore met with the media back in April and said that this is obviously before these two international kids were signed, but he said they were going out and essentially looking for, in so many words, looking for kids who are going to be depth pieces, who are going to help them out more competitive practice. So he got they went out and got a kid Dwayne Caroma, a 6'8" kid. He's from Germany, but he played at Lemoyne, transferred from there, and a kid named Alec Melender, who's actually probably will be, now that I think of it, could possibly be the third point guard. But he comes from IU Indy, and that's not IU Hoosiers, that's IU Indy. So it's not exactly a blue blood program, to say the least. They got these guys who are depth pieces, and they've been pretty upfront about that. Now, they've also said that they would never step in front of a kid who is really playing well in practice, playing particularly on defense. That's where you're going to get playing minutes by playing hard defense for Dan Hurley, and he's been very upfront about that. So, no one's saying that none of these kids could ever play, but right now, the two new kids, the two international kids, and a couple of the transfers they brought in are essentially, depth pieces, and I think they understand that.
Yeah, there's a little international flavor. You've mentioned the players, and Hurley is not afraid to go, the international route. Of course, you mentioned earlier Jacob Furphy from Tasmania, Australia area. So he's expected to play a little bit this year.
I really like him. He, we've seen two inter-squad scrimmages over the past few weeks, and he was, he didn't, he wasn't a star of either one of them, but he's obviously a kid who can do a lot of different things. He's, like I said, he can probably handle the point, and he's just a versatile guy. He can shoot. He plays hard. He can rebound. I think, They like him. I think they feel like he can be a real diamond in the rough this year and be a contributor. But of course, he is a freshman, and as we've seen, especially on deep teams, it's tough for freshmen to really make an impact unless you're sort of like this, top 10, 15, 20 McDonald's All-American types that UConn has had the last few years and have contributed. They do have that this year with Braylon Mullins, who probably will contribute quite a bit. We'll see how much Furphy does. But I think as a jack of all trades kind of guy, he could be very helpful to them.
Yeah, I like that. All right, you led me right to it. The two McDonald's All-Americans coming in, they lose Liam McNeely, and it seems like here comes, they lose McNeely, here comes Braylon Mullins, suited to play that role in some aspect. Not saying he's going to start, but he'll challenge for starting minutes. And Eric Reby, who you wrote, struggled a little bit defensively against Terrace Reed in that last scrimmage. So let's start with Mullins and then go to Reby, how they fit into this team.
Mullins is going to be a real good player for them. He absolutely could start right off the bat. My guess is that, and of course, it all depends again on how guys play in practice. And as Dan Hurley stresses, it's all about how well they play defensively, I think. But between him and Jalen Stewart, the junior who came back, looking for more playing time than he's got, he's shown some potential the last 2 years. I think that's a battle right now for kind of like the fifth starter. I think Dan Hurley tends to be loyal to his veterans, and I would say Stewart probably has the inside track to start, but it's a lot of time between now and November 5th or whenever that first game is, and so that could go either way. But yeah, but whether he starts or not off the bat for Braylon Mullins, he's going to be a big contributor this year. He's 6'4" long. He's a good defender. He's athletic, and he can shoot. I mean, he's just a dead-eye shooter. He went against he's coming out of Indiana Public High School, so people are going to probably have some doubts about how he's going to be able to handle the rigors of not only the Big East but also an incredibly difficult non-conference schedule. But I think he's going to be really good for them. And as far as Ryba, and that's how you pronounce it, Ryba. It's
Okay, thank you.
it's been pronounced 9 million different ways. And ribeye, I think he got once. So
Right.
it's going to be fun all year. But he's kind of going to be in the role of Donovan Clingan. He's a very different player than Donovan Clingan. He's a 7-footer with guard type passing and shooting skills. He can knock down threes. He's very deft. He's a good ball handler. He's sort of like the classic stretch 4-5 guy. Really, that's so popular these days, and it's kind of ticket to the NBA for a lot of guys. But in terms of when I say he's going to be in the Donovan Clingan role, in terms of sort of like as the backup center, you're looking at, Donovan Clingan averaged 13 minutes a game as a freshman. I would say that's what they're looking at for him, backing up Terrace Reed, a different type of player, giving a different look when Terrace is not in the game, and probably getting in, somewhere between 12, 15 minutes a game and probably being a good contributor for them.
Interesting. So, as you speak about Ryba, Chet Holmgren comes to mind for me. Similar type of player. I know he might be a little thinner, but he's had a very nice career in the NBA so far.
I think so. He was like 7'5", wasn't he? Or is he?
Holmgren, I
Something
think
like
he's
that.
7'1", 7'2", right around
That's
that.
it. I
He
thought he was
just
taller than
seems
that.
so thin, but
Yeah.
he seems more like a stretch four than a pure five. So I'm just
Yeah,
trying to.
Ryba's put on some muscle. It's evident. I think that they do want him to be able to guard the rim a little bit, rebound a little bit more, maybe more so than he has, defend. You mentioned, and he did. He got burned pretty badly by Terrace Reed Jr. in a scrimmage, but he's also coming off an injury. He missed the first scrimmage, so he's a little bit behind on that front. So he's a little, he was sad. He wasn't able to play much this summer, practice much, but I think Terrace Reed is going to make a lot of people look silly this year. I think he's a breakout candidate as a real star player. So the fact that Ryba got burned by him in a scrimmage, he needs to work on his defense, no question about it. But I wouldn't hang his head in shame on that one, because I think he's going to be one in a long line of people who get burned by Terrace Reed Jr. this year.
Yeah, and look, that was early August. I mean, we haven't even begun practices yet, and exhibitions to be played against, I guess, Boston College and Michigan State. So you like Reed a lot. Who else stood out in the summer workouts that you saw?
The first one, the first scrimmage solo ball, shot the lights out. Alex Caravan shot the lights out. The two of them were kind of unconscious from three. I think Alex hit six or seven threes. I think Ball hit four. I think he hit all four or five. Maybe he took five, but they were both very efficient and strong from three. I think Alex is a guy who it's going to be interesting to see him this year. Last year he came in preseason All-American, preseason first team All Big East. Everyone expecting him to be the man, and he's not quite that type of player. I think this year he comes in with a little less pressure on his shoulders to be the man. They've got more depth around him, more scoring depth, and I think he comes in, Dan Hurley says, sort of under the radar a little bit more this year. I think that's going to help him. I think he'll loosen up, and he could be in for a very good year, the type of year that maybe people expected from him last year. So Caravan and Baldwin right there. The Silas Demary Jr., the 6'4" guard from point guard from Georgia, who had two really good years at Georgia. He looked really good in that last scrimmage. Just a guy who can just do a little bit of everything, and he's a big guard, the kind of guy they love. People compare him to the Tristan Newton type, and he's his own player, but it's a fair comparison. Jalen Stewart, the guy who'll be competing with probably Braylon Mullins for that fifth starting spot, he looked really good in the second scrimmage. So, there were some highlights and a couple of guys out injured, but Malachi Smith, the backup point guard, hasn't practiced yet. Overall, some guys looking pretty good.
Yeah, and that's a player. I think he's a wild card. He started for Dayton. I know he's a little undersized. But he's built like a rock. He's from St. Raymond's in the Bronx. I think somehow, some way, he's gonna find. He's a redshirt senior, right? Fifth year type of guy. I think somehow it's gonna be, especially with his defense, it's gonna be hard to, keep him on the bench.
Hurley loves him. Of course, they beat. He beat UConn in Maui last year, which he apparently he's reminded Dan about that a few times so far this summer. I keep talking about guys who are kind of playing roles of players from UConn past, and UConn won a national championship 2 years ago with Hassan Diarra as the Big East Sixth Man of the Year and another New York tough kid. I think Malachi can be that kind of player. In all likelihood, going to come off the bench, backing up Damari as the point, but just a gritty New York tough player, winning player, who if he gives him what the type of stuff that Hassan gave him 2 years ago as the backup point, we could have a third straight UConn player win a Big East Sixth Man of the Award of the Year winner. So we'll see, but I think he's going to be a nice piece, but he hasn't practiced yet because he underwent minor surgery. A little a month and a half or so ago. They expect him to be all ready to go probably when they return from summer break in a couple of weeks.
Sure, and a player like him will once he gets his legs and his basketball legs under him, he'll pick up what Dan wants him to do. This is just the program now, Dave, the way Hurley and his coaching staff have approached this. Guys, sure, they want to play. Everybody wants to play. But for them to win, they have to accept their role. And if guys accept their role for this team this year, boy, and keep pushing for minutes with this depth. It's hard not to think that this team won't be a top five preseason team, top four.
I think, oh, absolutely. I mean, I think they are. And I, you know, it's not bias on my part. Granted, I may know a little bit more about the particular players and the team than people from the outside, but I just think this team has so much talent, so much depth, so much scoring depth. There's a couple of things that, obviously they need to play better defense than they did last year. They don't really have that Donovan Clingan type defensive, even a Samson Johnson type shot blocker in the middle. I mean, like I mentioned, Eric Reiben needs to work on that quite a bit, and Tyrus Reed Jr. Really isn't quite that type of player. Maybe he evolves into one this season. But he's a great rebounder.
But
So,
they collectively they do block shots, right? I mean, even
yeah,
Carbon blocks
yeah,
shots.
and they're long at certain positions. Yeah. There's a lot to like here. I think it's between them and St. John's in the Big East. And I think because there's so much continuity with UConn, more so than most teams, and certainly more so than St. John's, who brought in just a lot of different players. Even though UConn has a lot of new players as well, they still have guys who've been here for 2 or 3 years, in Alex Caravan's case, 4 years. So I think that's going to really vault them. To me, I do think that they'll be the best team in the Big East this year. I would pick them to be the favorites to win the conference. But obviously a lot can happen, and St. John's is really good too.
Yeah, no, I think when the preseason poll comes out, the coaches will pick UConn one and St. John's two based on just what you said, a little more, returning veterans other than just Zubi Ejiofor, who's the main cog at St. John's. So if there is a third team, if there's a team, a surprise team that could, crack that top two and really challenge UConn or St. John's in the Big East this year, who would it be?
Said Creighton. No, Creighton obviously is without Ryan Kalkbrenner, so they're going to look very different than they have the past really 4 years. I mean,
Yeah.
four-time Big East Defensive Player of the Year. Only Patrick Ewing has done that.
In
Which is
5 years, though, let's call it like it is, right? In
yeah,
five
and no
years.
one's comparing him to Patrick Ewing, believe me. But
But he
it's
did it.
pretty. He did it, and he's going to be. I mean, that's a huge void. Now they got a kid in from. I believe Iowa, a kid named Owen Freeman, who is a very good player, 6'10". I don't know how dominant defensively he'll be, but their entire defensive scheme was geared towards essentially baiting guards into or players to drive into the hole and having the 7-footer there. So everything changes. Now we'll see how that. But they have a lot of good players too. Some guys who returned from last year. Like I said, Freeman, the kid Jackson McAndrew is a 6'11" kid, was a freshman last year, looked really good. I think he'll be kind of a star this year. I think Marquette could be good. They lose a lot, but they still have the typical retention that Shaka Smart always has because he doesn't mind the portal at all. And then I think you're looking at teams that's me like Providence, Georgetown, Villanova. They brought in a lot of new players, and in two cases, the new coach. Let's see how that all works out. Sometimes it doesn't match, but they have a lot of talent, those teams. One of those three, maybe all three, could certainly be vying for the top spot in the league.
Dave, a couple more points here. The schedule, I haven't seen a schedule like this, in recent years, non-conference. Dan Hurley is just going out there and we'll play you anywhere, anytime. BYU in Boston, Arizona, Texas at home, at Kansas. You had an article recently, talking about Coach Underwood from Illinois scheduling a home and home. How about this gauntlet of a non-conference schedule?
They play the Florida, the defending national champion. The two last national champions will play each other at the Garden in December. And
Yeah.
of course, Florida's the team that ended UConn's quest for the three-peat last year. So, and they're going to be a top 10 team easily. BYU to me is going to be a top 10 team. They have the best freshman in the country, and more importantly,
Most expensive too.
well, we'll see if they get their money's worth, but to me, and the kid's name escapes me now, but they have the shooter they have coming back is like a 6'6" shooter, is almost more probably going to be bigger for them than maybe even than DeBanza, because he's experienced, and to me, he's a potential first team All-American. I really can't believe I can't think of his name, but so BYU is going to be really good. Florida they play, like, again, Illinois is always good. Who are we forgetting? At Kansas. Funny thing is, Kansas might be a little bit down this year, but they have one of the best freshmen in the country. And obviously, it's an incredibly tough place to play. Unbelievable environment. UConn lost there 2 years ago. It's a gauntlet this year. Then you get the Big East after that. So we'll know once Big East play starts in somewhere around what, mid late December. We'll have a good idea of where UConn stands, because they're gonna really test themselves in the non-conference.
And I love the fact that they are playing, two more games at Madison Square Garden. Were you talking about Richie Saunders, by the way?
Unders, yeah.
Yeah. Had a chance to see him, in Newark when BYU was there. And boy, does he do a little bit of everything for BYU. You're right, and could be a preseason All-American. two more games at Madison Square Garden. It seems like they play a couple of non-conference games there somehow, some way. One of it's part of the Jimmy V Classic. Just smart scheduling by Dan, you know, because he knows that they're going to have home court advantage no matter who they play there.
I think what they want to do in the non-conference is play four or five, and in this case, this year, I believe six, real tough power five, power four, whatever they want to call it, type teams. They want to get at least one of them on the road, which they've got Kansas. And this year they've got two at home, and then of course Boston and two in New York City. So and then it's filled out by teams kind of who are like sort of like sub 250, sub 300 type
Sure. Sure.
teams that essentially the goal is to kind of beat them and beat them big because that helps out your numbers. So it helps the outcome selection Sunday and things like that as far as the analytics go. But so they got a big road game. They've got obviously New York and Boston will have be plenty of UConn fans in the house and a couple of good home games as well. Texas and Arizona, I
Are
believe, right?
they coming to Gamble?
We don't know yet. They haven't announced the splits yet. My guess is that one of those two games at least will be at Gamble,
That would be
certainly.
nice.
Yeah, I can almost guarantee that. And but they might get one of them might be at XL Center. I'm not sure yet.
I mean, that makes sense. Split it up. Because they like to have some big games at Hartford Civic Center, but we know Dan loves to play those games on campus, and it would be nice for the that raucous crowd there. Dave, before I let you go, it's been awesome talking hoops with you in August, and I appreciate you taking the time. You got a book coming out, Hurley's Heroes. So what can you tell us about that, and how can people pre-order and look out for it?
Oh, it's available for pre-order as we speak at barnesandnoble.com at anywhere you can buy you can pre-order books it's available right now it's basically about Dan Hurley 7 years at UConn and mostly about the last three the two national championship years and then the quest for a third, which in some ways to me is kind of the most fascinating because last year was a crazy year, an exhausting year, a lot of off the court, on the court stuff, not not arrests or anything like that, but Hurley with the referees and the antics on the sideline and people criticizing him and the tough the losses, the 0-3 Maui, the loss at Seton Hall, which no one saw that coming. It was just a really tough, exhausting year. And yet they still gave the eventual champions all they could handle in the round of 32. So in some ways, I think last year was almost as interesting as the two title years because those years UConn just dominated everybody in the tournament. Those were two great teams, particularly the second one, which is just one of the all-time great teams really in college basketball history, at least the last 25, 30 years. So yeah, it's available now for pre-order again anywhere you can purchase books online, and it'll be out in stores in early November, November 3rd, I believe.
And what, if anything, what did you enjoy most about the book?
It was just fun to kind of look back and remember some of these games and events and players, and just try to dig in a little bit. Give people maybe some information they didn't know about them, about Hurley, about some of the players, some of the behind the scenes stuff. Even a couple of times when Dan was not 100% pleased with me, that's detailed once or twice in the book.
Join the
So it's all good. I mean, you're not gonna, that's gonna happen, right? If I'm doing my job the right way, I'm not looking for a controversy, but at some point you're gonna write or do something that the staff might not like. So, but that's all covered in there. I think that's going to give people an interesting look at these teams from the past 7 years and particularly the last 3 years.
Yeah, well, Dave, no one has covered more UConn men's basketball than you. Certainly over the last, I guess, decade and a half, 2 decades going on. So, am I right?
Yeah. 2 decades, basically. Yeah, 2007 away was my first season on the UConn beat. So, Yeah, I'm getting old. I'm getting up there.
We all are. I was right there. So pretty much 2 decades worth. So yeah, check it out. Pre-order on Amazon.com. Hurley's Heroes. Look out for it. It's coming out in November. Dave, thank you so much, man. It's always great talking with you, and I appreciate you coming on here in August.
No problem, Brian. Good talking to you. Thanks a lot.
All right, the great Dave Borges from CTInsider.com and Hearst Connecticut Media Group. Give him a follow on Twitter at Dave Borges. If you're not following Dave Borges, you are missing out on UConn men's basketball inside information. And check out that book. There's a couple of books coming out, right? Hurley has one coming out with Ian O'Connor, and this one will also offer some inside information. So, you know what? If you're a UConn fan, if you're a Dan Hurley fan, get both. How about that? It's not like you're reading one and not the other. Get both. That's my advice. UConn has 15 players on their roster. Listen, not every college basketball program, not every coach is going to put 15 players on their roster. I know locally, I know Steve Peichel's not going to do it. I know Shaheen Holloway's not going to do it. They'll probably fill them out with walk-ons, but to have 15 scholarship players in this day and age, even though that is the max you can go, not every college basketball program, and I'm going to say not even half, maybe 25%, if that, 10%, 15% are really going to, I'm going to say 10% are going to put 15 scholarship players on their roster. That is a lot. But listen, you could tuck some guys away. Maybe one of them surprises you. Maybe Popovich, like I said, surprises somebody, although there is superior depth in that backcourt. I mean, he probably comes in at number six in the backcourt. Elazai, a little bit more of a project, but he's playing at a high level in Turkey on the U18 national team. So you never know what you're going to get. You see these guys on film, maybe you see them in person, but more than likely, Hurley's seen these guys on film. You don't know until they get in, you get them in a practice uniform, and they're out there for, weeks, 3, 4, 5 weeks, and you see what they can really do, and then throw them into a scrimmage, see how they handle that, and away they go. Who knows? By February or March, you may need some of them. And it wouldn't surprise me if either one gets on the court in some capacity this season. So there you have it. UConn men's basketball in August, the third week of August, as we approach move-in date. UConn classes begin on August 25th. College basketball's right around the corner. Big East Media Day is coming up soon. So it's always a great time to talk college basketball here on the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. It's always great to talk UConn basketball. It is 12 months out of the year. Thanks, of course, to my sponsor, Mike Supa of RE/MAX Revolution. He's working 12 months out of the year. So if you're looking for a summer home, you're looking for a winter home, you're looking for a second home down the Jersey Shore, Monmouth or Ocean Counties, give Mike a call, 201-988-2577. Of course, tell Mike that Brian sent you from the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. That will do it for now. Continue to share, continue to follow, and spread the message of the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. I appreciate you listening and downloading and following us. Until next time, my name is Brian DeNovellis. Enjoy the summer. Fall's coming. I'll see you next time.